Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my guests for a roundtable discussion of the defense of Taiwan. You all know the news these days is dire about the threat to Taiwan by the People's Republic of China, most recently by the President for Life, Xi Jinping, imploring Taiwan to give in and come home to China before, and then the sentence is not filled in. These gentlemen helped me because they've all thought about, read about, and in many instances served in the part of the world that is extremely at risk if and when something catastrophic happens about the republic, the capitalist state, the democracy, and the centerpiece of America in the South China Sea, Taiwan. I welcome Rear Admiral Edward Sonny Masso. Rear Admiral is retired from the U.S. Navy, now the Executive Director of the Naval Historical Foundation. Captain Jerry Hendricks. Captain Hendricks, U.S. Navy retired aviator and the author of a book that has guided me to this particular hill that we're going to climb. It is about the kind of Navy we can expect for 2040 to provide and maintain a Navy while naval primacy is America's first best strategy. And with us now, Elbridge Colby. Elbridge is the Marathon Initiative here in Washington. He is the author most recently of The Strategy of Denial, American Defense in an Age of Great Power Conflict. We need to set the terms of the challenge. So I'll ask each of these gentlemen here in the Gannon Room of the Library of the Army Navy Club in Washington, D.C., Farragut Square. We're on the third deck, as Jerry has taught me to say, and we're very pleased to be hosted by the Army Navy Club, but this is a matter of a day we hope does not come, but it is here now and the risks. First, I ask you gentlemen to state what it is that you perceive is the mission for the United States Navy when it comes to the defense of Taiwan. Bridge, I start with you because your book is very careful about this, but that's potential problem. Good evening to you, Bridge.
Good evening, John. Great to be here with Sonny and Jerry as well. I think the mission of the United States Navy is actually what I think the Secretary of the Navy said the other day, which is to provide for an effective defense of Taiwan. And I think beyond that, it's an effective denial defense. I don't think it's a kind of global response. It's a local defeat of a Chinese invasion and an attempt to occupy and subordinate the island of Taiwan in concert, of course, with air, marine, and other forces.
Sonny, I ask you, from the point of view of the Naval Historical Foundation and from the point of view of Navy history, what is the challenge to the U.S. Navy if and when this catastrophe begins?
Well, first and foremost, the issue with China is existential. They are going to want Taiwan back at a point in time. And so for us, we have to project strength, presence, and a capability that goes far beyond just ships at sea. It extends into protecting the sea lines of communication through the Spratly Islands, defending the Philippine Islands, and creating a doctrine that that has U.S. presence profound so that there would be a deterrence ultimately.
Thank you. And Captain Hendricks, what is the challenge? What is the mission? And please help the audience understand, does the Navy right now have the resources to take on this challenge, its deployment, its types of ships, and where they are? Good evening, Captain.
Good evening. It's great to be here with our other guests as well. The Navy is strained right now at 295 ships right now. It's very difficult to keep the proper number of ships at sea. And the one thing about this is the Navy has a unique mission. It has a peacetime role to preserve the peace, and it has a wartime role to be able to decisively win the war. And right now, our ability to preserve the peace is really at odds with our need to maintain the readiness and build the readiness for the wartime scenario. And so we don't have enough submarines right now, which are really our decisive assets in a wartime environment. And quite frankly, we've drawn down. We have no frigates in the U.S. Navy right now. We had nearly 150 during the height of the Cold War. Those are your day-to-day cop on the beat, preserve the presence force. And so the Navy finds itself under-resourced and overtasked at this time. And so our challenge really with regard to Taiwan is a matter of timing. Can I get enough there at the right moment? Because I don't have enough to be there all the time. And that's a problem the U.S. Navy has not had in the last 70 years.
Bridge, recently there was a news item about the U.S. population asked, should we defend Taiwan? And my memory, and it passes very quickly, is that the majority answer was yes. However, there is an example of a place that we did not move, that we still are not moving, and that is Crimea and eastmost Ukraine, the Donbass region. Russia moved and NATO stood still and the U.S. stood still. That looks to be a model for what could happen to Taiwan. Do you measure now, all your years in Washington, you were at the Center for New American Security, then you were in the administration, now you're back outside of the administration. Do you measure that the American people are educated now that unless and until that the Crimea episode will be repeated in Taiwan?
Well, I think there is a growing recognition of the challenge from China, and there is growing sympathy for supporting Taiwan. I fear that that support is pretty thin in comparison to the cost and risk that China can impose upon the American people. So part of what I'm trying to do with my book is explain why it's worthwhile to help Taiwan defend itself as well as our other allies in the region, but also to do so in a way that's conscious of the costs and risks entailed. And so one of the reasons I'm so taken with urgency is because we can't just have a feckless defense or a partial defense. It won't work given the scale of the Chinese military. I think we're much more implicated than we were in Crimea. Taiwan is not a formal treaty ally, but I think of it as about two-thirds of one. So regardless of whether people, what people say about the lack of a treaty, clearly our credibility is at least substantially on the line. So we are implicated, and it doesn't pay to be half pregnant. We should be exceptionally well prepared precisely to deter China from ever venturing upon an invasion.
Admiral, a lesson of American history, and I'll look at particularly the revolution period, the 18th century, when we were not a nation yet, we were imagining it, is that you're not going anywhere unless the American people are going with you. Mm-hmm. And it was the genius of our founders that they did not impose the turmoil on the American people and face off against the greatest navy and army in the world. They asked individual towns to respond to the coercive acts, the pummeling of Boston that happened in 1774-75. They asked the small towns. Now, the reason I set this up is because you at the Historical Foundation are communicating to the American people. Do you believe at this point the American people are well informed about the scale of the risk that the U.S. Navy faces in operating in those waters in East Asia? Does more need to be done by people such as myself and others to communicate to the American people that this is not going to be something that it can be done quickly, because once the tango begins, it goes on for decades? Do you think the American people know this? They want to defend Taiwan, but do they know the risks and the cost, Admiral?
They do not. And there's a couple of areas that I'm profoundly concerned about, and that involves softer strength such as artificial intelligence, machine learning, quantum computing. We are so far behind at this point. Now, there will be people that will argue with me about how far behind we are, but we really need a Manhattan project type level of effort to catch up, so that we have the indications and warnings and really understand what is behind the strength of China, notwithstanding numbers of ships or otherwise. And I really do not believe that that our leaders have been forthcoming to the extent we're behind. I think there's a notion that we should feel embarrassed, and we should. And it's not a Democratic or Republican fault line here. It's a fault line that's driven by no one has done the profound. They haven't invested in shipbuilding and construction. They haven't maneuvered into Guam. They, you know, we're just now getting close to our allies with Australia and the Japanese Maritime Self-Defense Force with Aegis ships. But we haven't maneuvered in any space that's appropriate in the public affairs domain or in bringing hardware to the fight.
Jerry, your measure as an aviator right now, is this a bridge too far for the U.S. Navy right now to take on a geopolitical force with the scale of the Navy, not necessarily the quality, but the scale of the Navy fighting in home waters? Is the Navy ready for that contest? Are we ready for that risk?
Well, I think that the, you know, as a flight officer who's, you know, several thousand hours in the air, I don't think that this would be principally an air response. Quite frankly, I think our aircraft carriers would be hard pressed to go from the outside of the anti-access air denial environment into the inside. So what will be important is what we do ahead of time, how we prepare our Taiwan allies, and then the types of forces that can surge in there. And by that, I mean fast attack submarines or guided missile submarines to be able to get in there and sort of blunt that first initial blow. So, and then take down the defensive capability so you can flow in some of your older legacy forces. But if you look at sort of the traditional way that we would respond, which was, you know, sortie the carriers, I think that that's a hard, long slog. And it's interesting, John, from historical perspective, we really spent 50 years trying to shorten wars, and we find ourselves back in a long war scenario right now because of the lack of range from our carrier air decks at this point in time.
I'm speaking to three gentlemen to help me understand the scale and the risk of the defense of Taiwan in the event of a catastrophe. Edward Sonny Masso, Rear Admiral, retired U.S. Navy, Executive Director of the Naval Historical Foundation. Elbridge Colby of the Marathon Initiative, who is the author most recently of The Strategy of Denial, American Defense in an Age of Great Power Conflict, which is where we are. And Captain Jerry Hendricks, United States Navy aviator retired, the author of To Provide, Maintain a Navy, Why Naval Primacy is America's First Best Strategy. When we come back, what is the first island chain that these gentlemen refer to so casually, and what does that mean about defending Taiwan at the top of the South China Sea? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.